Shooting Miles was, of course, useless. The man could survive a dynamite explosion at close range. He could take a few shotgun blasts. But the shots caused the coin shot to push himself away in alarm. They also left Miles sprayed with metal. Wax increased his weight and pushed, though he found it hard to get a purchase on the birdshot. Any metal that pierced a person's body or touched his blood was very difficult to affect with allomancy. Fortunately, Miles' body obliged him by healing itself and spitting out the birdshot. In the instant before it could drop to the floor, Wax's push suddenly found anchors, and he threw Miles across the room and into the wall. The coin shot landed on the other side of the room. Waxillium dashed forward. Damn, but it felt good to be wearing one of those again. He skidded to a stop beside Maracy, taking cover next to the rail car.
I almost had him.
Waxillium! All you do is stall! Well, know this. My men have gone to kill the woman you came here to save. If you want her to live, give yourself to me.
Wax frowned as something moved behind Maracy. She jumped, and Wax pointed a shotgun, but it turned out to be Wayne.
Hey, nice gun.
Thanks.
Wax shouldered it, noting the speed bubble around them.
Your arm?
Wayne glanced down at the bloody bandage around his left arm.
Not so good. I'm out of healing. Lost some blood. I'm slowing, Wax. Slowing too much. You look pretty beat up yourself.
I'll survive.
Wax's leg was throbbing, his face scraped up, but he felt surprisingly good. He always felt that way, in the mists.
The things he's saying. You think he's telling the truth?
He might be, Wax. The blokes who were set up in front of the tunnel, they charged off a few shakes back. Looks like they had something important to do.
Miles did tell them something.
Damn.
Wax glanced around the corner of the rail car. Miles might be bluffing, but then again, he might not be. It wasn't a chance Wax could take.
That coin shot is gonna make things difficult. We need to take him down.
What happened to Renette's fancy gun?
Not sure.
Wow. She's gonna rip out your insides, mate.
I'll be sure to blame you for it.
Huh. He's good. Dangerous. We'll never take out Miles unless that allomancer is dead.
But you've got those special bullets.
One.
Wax slipped a shotgun into its holster inside his coat. He pulled out the other coin shot round.
I don't think an ordinary revolver will fire this.
Wax looked at Maracy. She was raising an eyebrow at him.
Right. Can you two keep Miles busy?
No problem.
Let's go then. One last try.
Wayne met his eyes and nodded. Wax saw tension in his friend's face. The two of them were battered and bloodied, low on metals, metal mines drained. But they'd been here before, and this was when they tended to shine their brightest. As the speed bubble fell, Wax ran out from behind the train car. He tossed a bullet into the air ahead of him, then pushed on it with a quick snap of power. The coin shot raised his hand with casual confidence, pushing it right back at Wax. The casing and bullet proper broke free and flipped toward Wax, who deflected them easily, but the ceramic tip continued forward. It took the coin shot right in the eye.
Bless you, Renette.
Wax leaped up, pushing off the coins in a fallen Vanisher's pocket. That launched him forward into the tunnel. There were tracks on the ground here, as if this were built for a train. Wax frowned in puzzlement, then pushed on them, heedlessly hurling himself through the darkness until he reached a set of stairs leading upward. The ceiling here was wood. A structure of some sort had been built over the tunnel. He charged into the stairwell, which led up to the wooden building, perhaps a barrack or dormitory. Wax smiled, the pain of his wounds retreating further as he grew more energetic. He heard footsteps on the wooden floor at the top of the stairwell. They were ready for him. It was a trap, of course. He found that he didn't care. He unslung both shotguns, then pushed on the nails in the steps and blasted up the stairwell. He passed the first floor and continued on toward the second. He'd rather check up first, then down. If Steris was being held here, she'd probably be up at the top.
Now we're burning.
Wax threw his shoulder against the door at the top of the stairs, breaking out into a second-floor hallway. Men burst out of a stairwell and the rooms nearby, fully armed, wearing no metal. Wax smiled, raising his shotguns.
All right, let's do this.
Wax pushed hard against the nails and the boards under the feet of the men leveling aluminum guns at him. The floor trembled, throwing off the Vanisher's aim. He dodged right, rolling out of the hallway and into the room to its side. He came up and spun, leveling both shotguns back at the doorway. Vanishers from the stairwell piled into the hallway after him. He pushed, slamming the men back and sending himself crashing out the window. This building was more an old warehousing shed. There was no glass in the windows, just shutters. There was a lamppost on the dark street a little bit to his left. He pushed on that while at the same time dropping his weight to nearly nothing. The push sent him back against the outside of the building. He landed and half ran, half leaped parallel to the ground along the wall. Reaching the next room over from where he'd been, he pushed on another lamppost and crashed through the window feet first. He landed and came up in the building, then turned toward the wall between him and the room he'd just left. He holstered the shotguns and grabbed his revolvers, pulling them out in a cross-armed motion. He raised them and increased his weight, then pushed hard on the nails in the wall before him. The wall disintegrated into a spray of splinters and planks, nails becoming as deadly as bullets as they ripped into the men in the next room. Wax fired, dropping any that the nails had missed in a storm of splinters, steel, and lead. He holstered the Starions, barrels smoking, chambers empty. He pulled out the shotguns, rolling into the hallway and coming up in a crouch. He raised a shotgun in each direction. A few straggling Vanishers climbed up the stairs to his right. Another group were leveling weapons to his left. He pushed on the twin metal levers on the sides of his shotguns, cocking them with allomancy. The spent casings flipped out into the air above the guns and Waxillium fired while pushing, driving birdshot and spent casings into the waiting Vanishers on either side. He threw himself to the left as gunfire from below blasted chips of wood into the air. They were getting smart, firing at him from underneath. He turned and ran, firing shotgun blasts down through the floor, mists creeping in through the broken walls. There had to be another dozen Vanishers below, too many to fire at without being able to see them. A bullet grazed his thigh. He turned and ducked away, leaping over the bodies of the fallen and dashing down the hallway. He hit the door at the end of the hallway. It was locked. A healthy dose of increased weight, along with some momentum and a shoulder, fixed that. He crashed through and found himself in a small windowless room with no other doors. A short, balding man cowered in one corner. A woman with golden hair and a rumpled ball gown sat on a bench at the back of the room, her eyes red, her face haggard. Steris. She looked utterly dumbfounded as Wax spun through the broken doorway, mist coat tassels flaring around him. He pushed on some of the nails in the floor back in the hall, causing the boards there to ripple, drawing much of the gunfire.
Lord Waxillium?
Most of me. I may have left a toe or two in that hallway.
He glanced at the man in the corner.
Who are you?
Nuxu.
The gunsmith.
Wax tossed him a shotgun.
I'm not actually a very good shot.
A few bullets blasted up through the floor between them. The Vanishers had realized they'd been tricked. They knew what he was looking for.
It doesn't matter if you're a good shot.
Wax raised his empty hand to the back wall and broke it open with an increased weight push.
It matters if you can swim or not.
What? Of course I can. But while you
hang on tightly.
He pushed on the shotgun in the gunsmith's hands, flinging him out the opening, throwing him some 30 feet in an arc toward the canal outside. Wax spun, grabbing Steris as she stood up.
The other girls.
I haven't seen any other captives. The Vanishers implied they were sent somewhere.
Blast.
Well, he was lucky to find even Steris. He pushed lightly off the nails in the floor, propelling the two of them toward the ceiling. As they approached, he took advantage of the fact that it didn't matter how heavy an object was when it came to falling. All objects fell at the same rate. That meant that increasing his weight many-fold would not affect his motion. Raising his shotgun, he shot a concentrated blast of pellets into the ceiling. Then he pushed on them sharply. His increased weight, meaning the push didn't really move him much, just as when he was lighter, a push affected him greatly. The result was that he continued his momentum upward, but his push blasted a hole in the ceiling. He made himself incredibly light and pushed more strongly off the nails below. The two of them shot up through the hole he'd made, propelled some 40 or 50 feet into the air. He spun in the night, mist coat tassels splaying outward, smoking shotgun clutched tightly in one arm, Steris in the other. Bullets from below left streaks in the mist as it swirled around them. Steris clung to him. Wax drew every bit of weight he had left, draining his metal mines completely. That was hundreds upon hundreds of hours of weight, enough to make him crush paving stones if he tried to walk on them. In the strange way of ferrochemy, he didn't grow more dense. Bullets would still cut through him easily if they hit. But with this incredible conflux of weight, his ability to push grew incredible. He used that weight to push downward with everything he had. The building was crushed down into the railroad tunnel on top of which it had been built. The weight was gone from him in an instant, compounded upon itself in that moment, his metal mines drained all at once. Wax let gravity take him, and he dropped through the mists, Steris clinging to him. They landed in the middle of the wreckage at the bottom of the railroad tunnel. Smashed lumber and fragments of furniture were strewn across the floor. Three Vanishers stood in the mouth of the tunnel, open-mouthed. Wax raised the shotgun and cocked it with allomancy. They were the only ones who had still been standing. Everyone else had been crushed down into the tunnel. A small fire flickered in the corner where a lantern had fallen. By its light, he checked on Steris, the mists pouring down around them and filling the tunnel.
Oh, survivor of mists!
Steris's cheeks flushed, eyes wide, lips parted as she held to him. She didn't look terrified. If anything, she seemed aroused.
You are a bizarre woman, Steris.
Do you realize that you missed your calling, Waxillium? You are an army under yourself. You are wasted in the life you've taken upon yourself.
Take this.
Wax handed Steris the shotgun. He cocked it. One shell left.
Hold it tightly. I want you to run for the precinct station. It's at 15th and Ruman. If one of the Vanishers comes for you, fire the shotgun.
But
I don't expect you to hit him. I'll listen for the sound of the shot.
She tried to comment further, but Wax ducked down to get his center of mass beneath her, then carefully pushed the shotgun up into her middle.
Ah!
He used it to launch her up and out of the pit. She landed awkwardly, but safely. He hesitated only a moment before running off into the mists. Wax scrambled to the side, making sure he wasn't backlit by the fire. He pulled a Sterion from its holster and fished out some rounds. He reloaded as he crouched down.
Waxillium! If you're done playing, perhaps you'd like to come settle things.
Wax crept up to the tunnel mouth, then stepped inside. The mists had filled it, making it difficult to see, which would work equally against Miles. He made his way forward cautiously until he saw the light from the big workshop at the end, where fires still burned. By that light, he could faintly make out the silhouette of a figure standing in the tunnel, holding a gun to the head of a slender woman, Marisie. Waxillium froze, pulse accelerating. But no, this was part of the plan. It was perfect, except...
I know you're in there!
Another figure moved, tossing a few improvised torches into the darkness. With a wheezing sense of horror, Waxillium realized that Miles wasn't the one holding Marisie. He stood too far back. The man holding Marisie was the one named Tarson, the Kolos-blooded pewter arm. Her face illuminated by wavering torchlight, Marisie looked terrified. Waxillium's fingers felt slick on the revolver's grip. The pewter arm was careful to keep Marisie between himself and Waxillium's side of the tunnel, gun to the back of her head. He was squat and tough, but not very tall. He was only in his 20s. Like all Kolos-blooded, he'd continued growing taller throughout his life. Either way, at the moment, Waxillium couldn't get a bead on him.
Oh, Harmony, it's happening again.
He jumped and nearly shot until he caught the outline of Wayne's face.
Sorry about this. When she got grabbed, I thought it was Miles, and so I...
It's all right.
What do we do?
I don't know.
You always know.
I can hear you whispering.
Miles walked forward and tossed another torch.
Just a few steps more.
Miles stopped where he was, eyeing the creeping mists with what seemed like distrust. Marisie tried jerking the way she had back at the wedding dinner.
None of that.
Tarson held her carefully. He fired a shot right in front of her face, then brought the gun back to her head. She froze. Waxillium raised his revolver.
I can't do this. I can't watch another one die. Not by my hand.
All right. Fine. You want to test me, Wax? I'm counting to three. If I reach three, Tarson shoots. No other warnings. One!
He'll do it.
Wax.
Oh, Harmony, if I've ever needed you.
Two!
Mist curled around his legs.
Wait!
Waxillium stood inside the speed bubble. Tarson would fire in mere moments, Miles behind him, pointing angrily. Torchfire frozen. It was like watching an explosion in slow motion again. Waxillium raised his Sterion and found his arm incredibly still. It had been still on the day he'd shot Lessie, too. He'd shot her with this very gun. Sweating, trying to banish the images from his head, he tried to find a clear shot at Tarson. There wasn't one. Oh, he could hit Tarson, but not anywhere that would drop him immediately. And if Waxillium didn't hit just right, the man would shoot Marisie by reflex. The head was the best way to drop a pewter arm. Only Waxillium couldn't see the head. Could he shoot the gun? Marisie's face was in the way. The knees? He might be able to hit a knee. No, a pewter arm would ignore most hits. If the damage wasn't immediately lethal, he'd stay up and he'd shoot. It had to be the head. Waxillium held his breath.
This is the most accurate gun I've ever fired. I can't sit here frozen. I have to act. I have to do something.
Sweat dripped off his chin. He raised his hand with a quick motion in front of him, then pointed the Starion to the side, off-center from Marisee or Tarson. The bullet shot out of the bubble in an instant, then hit slower time. It deflected, as bullets always did when fired from within a speed bubble. He watched it go, judging its new trajectory. It moved forward sluggishly, spinning as it cut through the air. Wax took careful aim, waited several excruciating moments, then he readied his steel.
Drop it on my mark.
Wayne nodded.
Go.
Wax pushed on the second bullet as the speed bubble collapsed. A small shower of sparks exploded in the air as Wax's second bullet clipped the other one in midair and deflected it to the side. It missed Marisee and hit Tarson's head. The pewter arm dropped immediately, gun slapping to the ground, eyes staring dully upward. Miles gaped. Marisee blinked, then turned about, raising her arms to her chest.
Oh, biscuits, did you have to hit him in the head? That was my lucky hat he was wearing.
Miles recovered his wits and raised his revolver toward Wax. Wax turned and fired first, hitting Miles' hand, dropping his gun to the ground. Wax shot it, knocking it backward into the other room.
Stop doing that! You got...
Wax next shot him in the mouth, driving him backward a step, throwing out chips of tooth. Miles still wore only the tattered remnants of his trousers.
Somebody should have done that ages ago.
It won't last.
Wax plugged Miles in the face again to try to keep him disoriented.
Time for you to be off, Wayne. Backup plan is still a go.
You sure you got them all, mate?
Tarson was the last.
And I'd better not be wrong.
Grab my hat if you get the chance.
Wayne scrambled away as Wax shot Miles in the face again. This hit barely bothered him, and the half-naked man lurched forward, toward Marisee. Miles was unarmed, but there was murder in his eyes. Wax dashed forward, throwing the empty gun at Miles, then fishing out a handful of bullets. He pushed them toward the former lawman. One sliced him in the arm, one cut through his gut and came out the other side, but none lodged in a way that Wax could push them to shove Miles back. Wax hit Miles just before he reached Marisee. The two went down in a heap on the dirty ground, under the mists rolling across the floor. Wax grabbed Miles by the shoulder and started punching.
Just
Miles showed a flash of amusement through the annoyance. He took a few of the punches, Wax's fist growing sore in the process. Wax could punch until his knuckles broke and his hand was reduced to a bloody mess, and Miles would be no worse for the wear.
I knew you'd go for the girl. You talk grandly about justice, but in the end, you're just a petty criminal.
Miles kicked Wax free. Pain flared in Wax's chest as he was thrown back into a muddy portion of the tunnel. Miles stood up, wiping some blood off his lip where it had split, then healed.
You know the really sad thing, Wax? I understand you. I felt like you. I thought like you. But there was always that distant, rumbling dissatisfaction within, like a storm on the horizon.
Wax got to his feet and rammed a fist into Miles' kidney. It didn't even get a grunt. Miles grabbed him by the arm, twisting it, causing his shoulder to flare with pain. Miles kicked the back of his knee, sending him to the ground again. As Wax tried to roll over, Miles grabbed him by the front of his shirt and hauled him up, then laid into him with a fist to the face. The punch slammed Wax down to the ground, and he tasted blood. Rust and ruin. He'd be lucky if his jaw wasn't broken. He also felt like he'd ripped something in his shoulder. His wounds suddenly seemed to crash down upon him. He didn't know if it was the mists, some action of harmony, or simple adrenaline that had helped him ignore them for a time. But he hadn't been healed. His side screamed from where he'd been shot, and his leg and arm had been burned and scraped raw by the explosion. He'd been clipped by bullets in the thigh and the arm, and now Miles is beating. It overwhelmed him. He slumped down, struggling to merely remain conscious. Miles pulled him up again, and Wax managed to get in one thrashing swing that connected and did nothing. It was very, very difficult to brawl with a man who didn't flinch when you hit him. Another punch sent Wax to the ground again, head ringing, eyes seeing stars and flashes of light. Miles leaned down.
Thing is, Waxillium, I know you feel it too. A part of you knows that you're being used, that nobody cares about the downtrodden. You're just a puppet. People are murdered every day in this city, at least one a day. Did you know that?
He rolled onto his back, aching, meeting Miles' eyes.
People murdered every day. And what was it that brought you out of your retirement? When I shot an old, would-be aristocratic wolfhound in the head. Did you ever stop to think of all the other people being killed in the streets? The beggars, the whores, the orphans? Dead because of lack of food, or because they were in the wrong place, or because they tried something stupid?
You're trying to invoke the survivor's mandate, but it won't work, Miles. This isn't the final empire of legend. A rich man can't kill a poor one just because he feels like it. We've gotten better than that.
Bah! They pretend and lie to make a good show.
No. They have good intentions and make laws that prevent the worst of it. But those laws still fall short. It's not the same thing.
I don't care about the survivor's mandate. I found something better. That doesn't matter to you. You're just a sword, a tool that goes where it's pointed. It rips you apart that you can't stop the things that you know you should, doesn't it?
They locked eyes, and shockingly, despite the agony, Waxillium found himself nodding, truthfully nodding. He did feel it. That was why what happened to Miles terrified him.
Well, someone has to do something about it.
Harmony. If Miles had been born back then, in the days before, he'd have been a hero. I'll start helping them, Miles. I promise it to you.
You won't live that long, Wax. Sorry.
Waxillium curled around himself, hands over his face. He couldn't fight. He just had to last. But the pain was mounting. It was terrible.
Stop it! Stop it, you monster!
Waxillium felt Marisi beside him, kneeling, hand on his shoulder.
Fool woman. Stay back, unnoticed. That was the plan.
I suppose I should deliver you to Suit, girl. You're on his list, and you can replace the one Waxillium set free. I'll probably have to track her down.
Why is it that small-minded men must destroy that which they know is better and greater than they?
Better than me? This? He isn't great, child.
The greatest of men can be taken down by the simplest of things. A lowly bullet can end the life of the most powerful, most capable, most secure of men.
Not me. Bullets are nothing to me.
No. You'll be brought down by something even more lowly.
Which is?
Me!
I'd like to see you try.
Waxillium cracked his eyes, looking down the length of the tunnel toward the broken ceiling where the building had stood. Light flooded that pit from above, growing brighter at a remarkable rate.
Who have you brought? They won't arrive quickly enough.
Waxillium rolled his head to the side and saw the sudden horror in Miles' face. He had seen it, finally. A shimmering border nearby, a slight difference in the air, like the distortion caused by heat rising from a hot street. A speed bubble. Miles spun on Marisi. Then he ran for the bubble's border, away from the light, trying to escape. The light at the other end of the tunnel became bright, and a group of blurs moved down it, so quickly it was impossible to distinguish what was causing them. Marisi dropped her bubble. The sunlight of a full day streamed in from the distant pit, and filling the tunnel, right outside where the bubble had been, was a force of over 100 constables in uniform. Wayne stood at their head, grinning, wearing a constable's uniform and hat, a false mustache on his face.
Get him, boys!
They moved in with clubs, not bothering with guns. Miles, trying to dodge past the first few, then punched at the group that laid hands on him. He wasn't fast enough, and there were far too many of them. In minutes, they had held him down against the ground and were wrapping ropes around his arms. Waxillium sat up with care, one eye swelling closed, lip bleeding, side aching. Marisi knelt beside him.
You shouldn't have confronted him. If he'd knocked you out, that would have been the end of it.
Oh, hush. You aren't the only one who can take risks.
The backup plan had been straightforward, if difficult. It had begun with eliminating all of Miles' lackeys. Even one of them, left alive, could have noticed what the speed bubble meant and shot Waxillium and Marisi from the outside. There wouldn't have been anything they could have done to prevent it. But if the lackeys were gone, and if Miles could be distracted long enough while the bubble was up, Wayne could go to gather a large force to surround Miles while he was helpless. He'd never have let it happen if he'd suspected.
No! Unhand me! I defy your oppression! No!
One of the constables pulled a gag over his mouth as he was tied tightly.
You are a fool. You let yourself get isolated and distracted, Miles.
You forgot the first rule of the Roughs. The more alone you are, the more important it is to have someone you can rely upon.